okay? And that's one of the magic things here about, because you're informed, and we're known as a think tank. We have been known as a think tank. And we created Mass Informed back in 2003, 2004, and we've had continuous monthly meetings, sometimes twice a month, for that length of time. And we're still growing, we're expanding, our website is growing. I invite you all to go to the website and read the articles. We're expanding here. And write an article of your own and submit it. And then make comments. You don't have to be a Mass Informed member. It used to be, once upon a time, you had to be a Mass Informed member to write an article. But you don't any longer. We want information sharing, high-level writing, okay? Not that somebody is a whatever they are, and you hate them, okay? But an insightful article, an insightful comment. So please go there and read and contribute, because you have something to say. If you write letters to the editor at the AJC or other local papers, it may be 2 or 3 days before your letter appears, if it ever appears at all. But in the Madison Forum, as a member, you know what the protocol is. And chances are you will get published. I've appointed Leroy Emkin as the editor of the Madison Forum, and so that's his job now. I step up and I do other things, such as promoting the website and trying to find writers. So with that in mind, I'm going to be quiet, and I'd like to introduce Gregory Howard, who's a long-time Madison Forum member. He has an announcement to make. Greg, thank you very much.
Have any of you ever heard of me before? I've done a radio show that Michael and Paul have been a regular part of, Ted Metz, many others in the state for the last, the show's been on for 11 years, but we're not on right now. But, and it was based on Constitution, you know, the Constitution, and then we got into doing things with studying civil rights and other issues. But from a conservative Republican perspective, and that turned into me helping Paul with a lot of cases and helping develop, we bring them out on air. In the past, and I'll give you a quick resume, I've been a GOP chairman. I was chairman of Gwinnett County 18 years ago, and I built it to the 7th largest GOP organization in the country at the time. Over 80's chair, I've been heavily involved with the NRA for 20 years. Have you ever heard of the J.M. Littlefield Award, any of you that are NRA members? When you see Charlton Heston and Oliver North Porter the gun up for a lifetime, I've won the yearly, and they've given out less than 40 of those. So I've been very active in all of this for 20 years. And I came here today because I'm friends with Michael, and he had been Ed Rego on the show. But I'm announcing my run for the 9th District Congress. So, again, a constitutional advocate and an advocate of what Paul's been talking about. I've studied it from a legal perspective about the grand juries. So going in as a constitutionalist Republican, you know, I'm going to be given the Group W bench in the back of the, you know, with the bath, with the office next to the bathroom stall. We know that, all of us know that will happen. I won't get on any committees worth a flip. But as I like to say, you know, my radio fun is, I've got issues. I've got a stack of them. You know, if you're in the Army, or if you're in the military, and you're an E6 or below, you're married, you got 2 children, you live below the poverty line. I talked to a friend of mine this last week who is getting his dental work done through the Army. He's had the post in his mouth for a crown for 5 years. Can't get the second appointment. And this isn't uncommon. You know, the care of our military, our veterans, a lot of things are going on. How many of you know what the unfunded liabilities of the country are?
They're like 100 trillion.
What? 228.
232 is the most revised version.
I was thinking,
232 trillion.
Every time you turn around, it's like watching a meter go. And but that's the last one I had, and that's about 6 months old. So now 232, because I trust Ted. And this is, we are on a, if they think the Weimar Republic in Germany was bad, this is going to be worse. And we need people up there who are willing to put on the brakes. And Paul's idea of the grand jury is one of the ways to address this. and I intend to use that office. We have made friendships with people that you wouldn't believe. One is the founder of what's called the Justice League United, which is a civil rights, human rights organization for minorities. The founder of it is now a good friend of mine, so I actually have his personal backing for this. I'll be the first Republican they've ever backed. He's a former National Minister of Justice for the New Black Panther Party as well. Because we've worked on justice issues. And so he left them because of Paul, what he learned from Paul. Bobby left them. This is a unique approach. He understands constitutional law. And if we can get Bobby to follow this, we can teach more. But this is what it's about. We've got to get people in office who have this vision of following the Constitution. Because as Paul is, forget when you call the Constitution. Call it, it's the contract between us and the government. It's a contract. And they're not following. So I'm willing to take the worst office on Capitol Hill. I assure you, if I'm even within 25 miles after I'm there a year, my office is within 25 miles, I'll be amazed. But we've got to go in and start picking at these things. Our rights are being eroded constantly. And there's no, there's no other way to do this but to try to get people to run who understand the problems and don't mind being the point of the spear and trying to fix it. And that's me. So, like I said, I brought a few articles I wrote for Thanksgiving. That'll give you a good idea how I think and write. And like I said, Pete, it's in the 9th district. I got to tell you this one thing. I was going to run for the 7th. But I was told a few months ago that they've already picked the nominee by some of the donors. They go, well, we've already picked the nominee. And so when the new map came out last week, they drew the 9th all the way down into where I live in Gwinnett, got my neighborhood, and then went back up. So they took me out of the district I've lived in for 20 years so that I couldn't run against this other fellow. And that's how it goes. So we know this is what it's like. I've been living it. And like I say, I told him, I don't care which district I'm in. I'm running because I want to start the narrative that we all want to see get done. So that's me, Gregory Howard, folks. I'll be here.
Thank you very much. And Gregory is a long time Madison Forum member. Mm. Now, Susie Voyles, do you want to make a statement?
I sure do.
Susie Boyle
we'll carpool from you.
Also a longtime Madison Forum member. She's already announced her candidacy for Congress, so I'm not preempting her stating that. But we're very, very proud that we have two great Madison Forum members running for Congress. Thank you, Susie.
Thank you. And I want to say that
And this is not her speaking engagement, by the way. We will schedule her to speak, but she did need to let everybody know what she's doing.
I'll be really short and brief, and I've enjoyed getting to meet some of you today. I'm running in the 6th district, and I came out so excited to run. And the most, other than the Bible, the most precious document to me is our Constitution. And when you look at how long our Constitution has survived. If you look at the French Constitution, it has crumbled many, 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 many times, and they were relatively, contemporary documents at the time. But you're so right. We need to get back to following the simple rules of our Constitution, working within that. It's not going to be easy to move this battleship around, but it can be done. I'm not going to be another politician. I am not going to be, beginning a new political career. I'm going because I dearly love this country. I love the precepts upon which this country was founded. And I believe I've worked long enough in the background, pushing and pulling other people, that I have developed a good relationship with the right people also. But I've developed smaller relationships with some other people. That this is a doable thing. We have to take our country back. We cannot just sit by and do nothing. It's time to get out of the trenches. I've taken the shots, the slings, and the arrows. from the election integrity. It's still going on. And that's why I was quiet for a while, because with that lawsuit going on, I did not want to do anything that was going to jeopardize the lawsuit. I believe God's totally in control of this whole thing, whether it's the lawsuit or whatever. I have been freed up by my attorney, by their attorneys, that I can run 100 miles an hour, and I would appreciate you taking a look and giving me some support, because we've got to take our country back.
I know that you've got something you want to say.
Thank you, Mike. Those of you who did not see an email that I sent out, Mike kindly sent it out this morning, so you'll probably get to read it. And in that email, you're going to get to read the words of a grand jury from Chatham County who conducted their inquiry into allegations of a corrupt election. What you will find of interest is, first off, that grand jury sat in June of 1791. The year 1791 in Chatham County. You will also find it unique that the election they inquired into was not a Chatham County election. It was a congressional election. The lower congressional district of the state of Georgia, it included four counties. Ordinarily, you do not hear of grand juries issuing presentments or indictments in neighboring counties. Well, this time they did, because they took control of the election at the outset. They had the jurisdiction to follow the evidence wherever it led, and it led in the four counties, their own and three others. Not only did they follow that evidence, but when they were through, they had probable cause to believe that some magistrate judges, a superior court judge, and others had violated the law. The result was their presentment to the Georgia legislature. One, they specifically asked for the impeachment of all persons concerned, and they got it. That Superior Court judge, Judge Osborne, became the first judge that I know of who was presented by a grand jury to the legislature. Then the legislature followed the grand jury's suggestion of the impeachment. Excuse me. And not only that, but the election was invalidated. The United States Congress held a hearing and vacated the seat that was occupied by the wrongfully elected member. And Georgia had to hold another election. Now think about one Georgia grand jury looking into the last presidential election cycle. At any rate, the last words just pay attention to the last when you get a chance to read, pay attention to the last words of what that grand jury said. And let me add this. Greg here was sharp enough when we first found this. And golly, I was about to forget the important part. A Madison Ford member is responsible for bringing that to my attention. So we got to be thankful for that. At any rate, Greg was had foresight enough to get in touch with the archivist at the Chatham County Superior Court Clerk's Office, and he has received word that they did find the original minutes of that grand jury, and they will be making copies and certifying them to him, and we should have those within a week or so.
Thank you. Someone asked me before we started a meeting, what can we do? Well, the grand jury really is the last vestige of what we can do. We elect those people who promise us things And then when it comes time for them to vote or support things, we have to twist their arm to get them to do it. Those are not the people we need to be electing. We need to have great discernment. We need to be electing leaders who will do the right thing without us having to say one word other than congratulations, you've done what you're supposed to do. And we've got to get in that mindset and stop becoming political groupies.
Thank you.
We just have to do that. So anyway, look at what the candidates say with discernment and see which ones are speaking from the heart and which ones speak the truth and which ones will be willing to get up and do battle. Marjorie Taylor Greene has done great stuff. Now we have a candidate that we can compare other candidates to and ask the people down at the Capitol, are you going to stand shoulder to shoulder with Marjorie Taylor? All the candidates running. Will you stand behind her, in front of her, beside her, lockstep? Or are you just going to sit on the sidelines and not be involved? So we have new standards that we have, and we have a good model. And there's another one from Colorado. Another woman. Yeah. All these women. The day of the woman.
And you all may not know that Ben Stafford used to be with Jerry Heist as her press secretary.
So we're open now. Madison Forum whirlwind session goes from 11:30 to 12 o'clock. Only Madison Forum members, and that's the protocol, get to speak. We want other people to become members, but we'd like for folks to see the way we do things and how we process information. And if you're interested in becoming a Madison Forum member, send me an email, and I will meet you first. Send me an email, and we'll get you in the process that we do to become a member. All right. Floor is open. Jim.
I was going to echo what you say. I don't see any reason to throw one do-nothing out and put another do-nothing in.
Amen.
Republican or Democrat.
Amen.
Now, so these people run on, I'm a conservative. Well, you know what? You look at the district, like maybe district, I think, 6. It's going to be heavily Republican. Everybody's going to be conservative. They get up there, I don't know what they become. They become bureaucrats. Like you said, groupies. So, Gregory, I'll tell you, Susie, we need a contract that this is what I'm going to do. Like Trump, promises made, promises kept, or out the door.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yes. There was an article in the Federalist this last week by Madeline Osborne who mentioned Garland Favorito in the article, and it's basically about the election fraud that took place. And some person here in Georgia, I think south of Atlanta, on his own came up, he's a retired executive in a business, came up and found discrepancies just between the logs in Fulton County that like equated to like 3,700 votes in Fulton County alone. And this is just from the logs that he determined. And even Brian Kemp had to send a letter to the Fulton County Election Board detailing his, he's just so angry. Yes, Joe Rossi. Joe Rossi came up with this. And did I mention Garland Favorito and how it's on appeal, how it was dismissed according to standing. And obviously it's according to standing because they don't want to look at what's going on. And I think that I've also heard in this election thing that needs to be brought to a parent is that Brad Raffensperger has video. I've seen this in the media. The Brad Raffensperger has video of Stacey Abrams' organizations people and the Southern Poverty Law Center people going to there's 240 lockboxes. They were this illegal consent agreement that he went into with Stacey Abrams' organization. It says that even though it's illegal, it said that you're only one vote per person per drop box. And they have video supposedly Raffensperger is investigating it so bad, of people going in with tens and hundreds of ballots that they harvested, which is illegal, even according to the illegal consent agreement, and stuffing these ballot boxes with these harvested ballots. And I think that we need to have this, obviously Garland's, his lawsuit needs to go ahead because there's no doubt in my mind this election was stolen. There's evidence of it, and we can't let Raffensperger get away with this when he is, there needs to be And there needs to be a GBI investigation, obviously, at the very least. There probably never will be. But the fact that Brad Raffensperger can undermine this, and he's sitting on video of them stuffing the ballot boxes with harvested votes, is just, that's not right. And it shouldn't be allowed to happen. And somebody needs to be held to account. And I don't think phone calls really work anymore, but to call the governor's office and say, Brad Raffensperger, because right now, Governor Kemp still maintains in his letter to the Fulton County Election Board that the Secretary of State's office is the only office that can oversee and investigate elections. Well, that shouldn't be, because he has a vested interest in protecting his own patootie, and that shouldn't happen. And if he's sitting on this information of them stuffing the ballot boxes, that needs to come out. Somehow, and I just wanted to bring that to your attention.
Thank you. Comment to me. And it's a mindset. Everybody has a mindset about something. I do. And then suddenly you think about it and you go, why have I been thinking that way? Why haven't I thought another way to solve a problem? So what we have is that we have become so reliant and so ingrained and fenced in on our judicial system, we think here's the way that it's supposed to work. So I'm going to pose a question to you. Two nights ago, it rained. So, how can you prove it rained? Wherever you are, let's just say in your neighborhood, it rained. Who in here can prove to me that it rained? Who in here can prove to me that it's not raining outside at this moment where we are? Let me see the hand. You can prove that it's not raining outside?
Right now?
Yeah.
I can go outside? Yes. Not get wet?
No. He asked, prove to him.
Oh.
How can you prove that it's not raining? To prove that something is a fact or a law, you gotta have a judge rule on it. Okay? When our Declaration of Independence was written, what court ruled that the king was acting not in the favor of his subjects, or I don't know that we had citizens at that time? There was no proof. There was no proof of all the offenses that were stated in the Declaration of Independence. No court, no magistrate, no administrative official of the king ruled on that. It's common knowledge, empirical knowledge, where we say we know what's going on. We know Al Capone had judges that were on his payroll to rule a certain way. We know that. But we've become paralyzed by our own mindset that in order to have proof, some judge has to this hammer down. And he's somebody's lawyer. He was somebody's lawyer. That mindset has created what we have today. So hence the grand jury. We can become active finding somebody who's sitting on the grand jury. Doesn't have to be the foreman. The grand juries do not know their powers, they do not know their rights, they do not know what they can do. They do not know that they can tell the DA, leave the room, have all of your people leave the room because we may be investigating you. And they have to leave or they can be indicted for obstruction of justice. They don't know their rights and they don't know the powers that they have. So if we find the grand jury, you know, somebody, Paul, will get invited to come explain the grand jury powers. But we have to stop relying on the courts. We see what they did to Garland Favorito, where the judge says, yes, you have standing to do this, and there's, and he goes on for months, and then goes, oh, never mind, you don't have standing after all, and wasted all that time. So we don't have to prove that the judge is a crook. Okay? It's empirical knowledge. We are thinking people. We can see and come to conclusion. We don't need a judge to tell us it's raining outside. You must take an umbrella. We don't need somebody to tell us that it's sunshiny outside. We need to wear sunscreen. Oh, but you need to wear a mask. which we all know doesn't do anything. It's like putting up a chain link fence to protect us from bumblebees coming in the dark. I mean, we do that. Or we wear it because we don't want to create consternation where someone else says, you got to wear a mask. That is so absurd. I mean, how can any thinking person agree to that? And we know people who do. They're friends and they're our relatives, all right? We can't get into it with them because they don't understand and we're troublemakers. We all know that.
I just wanted to throw in part of the light bulb that went off when I ordered this docket and had the archives, state archives, find this for us, is there's many voices. It was dealing with a federal election and fraud, so it was very germane to Garland's case. The other part is, for Paul's benefit and all of ours. There's only been, Paul and I have gotten farther than I think anybody else since 1954 to approaching the grand jury. We've been on this mission for 5 years. But part of it is looking into the docket to see how that presentment was made. Was it a citizen presentment? You know, was that brought forth by a citizen to challenge that, or was that brought in by someone, you know, a district attorney? Because if it was brought in by a citizen, that gives us standing before the court to say it's time for those doors to be reopened. And that's one of the things I want to leave once, you know, I've given the opportunity, because they're not going to deny a sitting congressman. They're not going to deny me one of the candidates. I'm going to go knock on the doors. Susie, you can tell. I'll get your number one.
Okay.
But this whole thing is the grand jury can check everything that our elected officials, they can challenge judges, remove judges, and we've got to take this power back for us, the people. But that's hopefully that's part of what we get in this docket, or is to find out how that presentment was made. Because if it was brought in by the citizens, that's a home run.
Great, thank you very much, Susie.
One thing I will say, and you should correct me if I'm wrong, it's my understanding that if something does not have standing, it should not have come before the court at all. Is that correct? And he was, I mean, so, as you said, Michael, it was months, but now we have a new case coming with two people who definitely have standing. And this will sort of show us how corrupt things really are.
Things are so corrupt that when the President of the United States said we've had a fraudulent election, goes to the Supreme Court, and they say, excuse me, sir, you don't have standing. That's where the people should rise up and say, Supreme Court, you do not have standing, that you have become corrupt, and all of you who voted that way need to resign, and we will force you to resign one way or the other if you do not. We've got to become vocal and strong.
Well, I certainly have, even at the extent of having people, I think it's very interesting that they've never said I was lying, they've never said I perjured myself, but they said, well, she must be mistaken.
Paul? Thank you, Susan.
Thank you, Mike. Ladies and gentlemen, as I explained to you a moment ago, or shared with you, this grand jury in 1791 issued a presentment against a Superior Court judge. Right now, if a grand jury were to start investigating any grand jury, there's 159 counties, 159 grand juries, and every one of them is clothed with the power to do what this grand jury did. There are two judges to be for a grand jury to look at, the one in Boulder, Georgia's case, and especially the judge who presided over the agreement, the consent agreement between Raffensperger and
Abrams.
What's her name?
Stacy.
And the reason is this: if a grand jury finds that agreement violated state law, that means that judge violated his oath of office. That, ladies and gentlemen, under 1610-1 is a 5-year felony in this state. That judge should never have approved, no judge should approve any agreement that is contrary to state law or our Constitution. But more than that, if they follow the evidence far enough in this election, they are going to literally follow the evidence. Come right up here, young lady. Let me shut up.
We gotta finish the ballot.
Okay, I'll make it quick. They're going to follow evidence that's going to lead them into the halls of Congress. It's going to lead them into the Oval Office. And it's going to lead them into the Supreme Court of the United States. Now, stop and think for a minute. How awesome it would be for the world to wake up one morning and find out that the vast majority of the elected and appointed officials in the hierarchical structure of our government have been indicted. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you, Paul. Serena, it's so good to see you.
I apologize.
That's all right. That's okay. That's all right. But I'm glad you're here, and I'm going to introduce you when you're ready for me to do so.
I am on the fifth.
All right, I'll give you a second. But, so, people have asked me this morning, what can we do? You can find, if you've got a relative, or you've got a friend who is serving on the grand jury, you can speak to them and help them get knowledgeable and educated and put them in touch with Paul. Have them subpoena Paul to come in to speak to the grand jury so he can educate them all on the powers of the grand jury, because you're ignorant. And there's one other thing. For those of you who are running for Congress, Gregory, for those of you who are running for Congress, you have the power to go into a grand jury. All right, your Cobb County chair and the chairs of any of your county commissions have the power to go into a grand jury. Do you think that the DA is going to say no when the chair controls their funds, or the sheriff is going to say no, you can't go in? They can go in and talk to the grand jury about their power, or to tell them to invite Paul Nally in to explain what they do. There are things that we can do ourselves, short of going out and doing those other nasty things that we don't want to talk about. Okay? So it's important that we do get involved, and we get involved in the right way. And Paul has talked about legal precedents going back to the 1790s and what came out of that. These people don't want you to know about the historical impact of what the grand jury can do. It's in our Constitution. They are a fundamental level of law in our country. So, I'm going to talk a little bit about Sharia. Yes. She's a Radisson Forum member, candidate for Congress in the 4th District. And normally we don't record political speeches, but she's going to speak on issues, okay? And she is a congressional candidate, and we're glad that she is. Her bio, and she's going to be speaking on the Great Divide and where to go from here. So she's a Georgia native. She is the first African-American to win the DFW Voice of Democracy Award. She went on her way to become the youngest political commentator for a couple radio stations. And I could go on and on. But rather than listen to me to tell you about her, it's better for us to hear directly from Saria about her. So thank you very much for coming to the Madison Forum to talk about issues and your campus.
Thank you, sir. Thank you guys for letting me do this. I really appreciate you guys inviting. I'm a little bit of an informal person. I hope between now and November I'll learn to be formal to an extent. Everybody who's laughing knows a little bit about me. That's why they're laughing. So I'm going to move around a little bit. Is that all right with you?
Oh, by all means.
Because I'm a people person. I got into politics not willingly.
Yeah.
I got into it because a necessity arose. There was a prevailing amount of stupid going on. Common sense was void. Things that don't require PhDs or psychoanalytics to get resolved was going unresolved, and I'm the type of person is that there's only so much kitchen table, backyard conversations I can have before I'm going to put my hand in something, you know? So that's why I got in, but I don't, and I guess y'all have to give me a little bit of grace because I'm not a politician by nature. I'm an issue person. I believe government is out of necessity. I don't believe that it is something that you make a career off of. I don't believe that it's something that anybody that really thinks for themselves and that are truly independent people would want to be in it too long, because it can cause psychological dysfunctions when you're dealing with a lot of personalities and principalities. One of the things I do need to let you guys know is that I'm a Christian by choice, not habit. And what that means is that when I took my vows to the Lord and made him Lord of my life, that's what I meant. So you'll hear me talk about him a lot. So if there's anybody in the room that does not share my beliefs, let me just say this to you. You're in America. You have the right to believe what you want to. I'll defend what you believe, but what I will not do is I will not offend my God, because your God don't like it. Okay? So that's all I'm saying. You're welcome to do what you do. I don't have anything to say to you about it. More power to you, but I reserve the right to keep my right too. Okay? So you'll hear me talk about him a lot. There's a couple things I want to address for us, because America's on life support. Okay? America's on life support, and we're getting a lot of confusion about what's going on right now in the world today, because there's so much smokes and mirrors going on, and there's so many distractions. And I'm a highly analytical person. Okay, black and white as far as I'm concerned with how I view things. No matter how ugly it is or how grand it is, if it's truth, it's just truth. You suck it up. You know, back in the day, my mom used to give us castor oil. That's not something anybody wants to take. It doesn't taste good. So you just put a little sugar in it, or you add a little tea to it, and just get it down because you need it. You know what I'm saying? So I'm going to talk to y'all blunt, candid about where we are in America right now, what's at stake in America, why we're here, and how we get out of it. Is that all right?
Yes, ma'am.
Can I do that?
Amen.
I'm very talkative, so y'all have to talk back. It is a requirement. My profession right now, to give you a little background so you understand how I'm doing things, I am a trainer. I'm a corporate trainer for one of the largest tech companies that there is in the world. I teach operating systems. I teach customer service. I teach pretty much, if you call some of your tech places, I probably train the trainer that trained them. Okay? That's what I do for a living. So everything that I do is to the perspective of get the job done and make sure you understand why we have to do it. Okay? So that's kind of how I'm going to talk to you now. So I got a visual for you guys, because I've heard this said a lot in our party, but I don't think anybody understands it. Mom's going to take one more. Thanks, Bubba. Okay. Everybody knows what a Jenga set is, right?
I don't know.
So here's what's been going on in America for about the last century. I'll give it a century. It was bred at the very beginning. So what's happening is that you have people that come in with different experiences and ideologies, and they start shifting stuff. Okay? They start shifting stuff and building different fragments, right? Okay? And America has stood while that happened. Okay? America has stood while it happened. And every once in a while, life will hit us and we have to adjust. But we keep shifting and moving fabrics, right? That's what we do. We get a little close to the edge. Bella, go sit with her mom. So we go and we start shifting stuff. We'll get to the edge every once in a while with abortion, with some of the other factors that come through society. We start shifting things. But America has stood. Okay? Can everybody agree with that?
Yeah.
We had racism, we had slavery, we had Jim Crow, I mean, just shifted some things. But we remained in standing. Here's what we got going on right now. We have individuals that are chipping away at the foundation now. Constitution is a living document. That's where we're headed.
That's
you understand what I'm saying? That's where we're headed. That's the reality of where we are. So at this stage in the game, okay, you're going to have to put aside your petty squabblings. You're going to have to put aside this pseudo impression of shame and guilt. We're going to have to put aside the compromise, because the very foundation of America is at stake. So what? So what are we dealing with? For the last 3 years, we have seen an uprising of a lot of what people call protests. I call it terrorism. And it's all under the guise of racism. Anybody wonders why every election year racism comes up? Anybody wonder why?
Same reason abortion comes up every election season. It's a wedge issue.
It's divisive.
It's divisive, but why does it have power? We've had a black president. We have several black congresspeople sitting next to you. We have just as many working black entrepreneurs as white entrepreneurs. We got the same wealthiest Hispanics as we did. So what, you can see him. I buy Tyler Perry movies. How can you not know? Oprah is everywhere. You get a car. You get a car. Everybody gets a car. Everybody knows Oprah. Jay-Z got a rap sheet that's longer than my height. And he's one of the wealthiest moguls in the world. So why, when the trajectory and the demographics of the different minority groups have changed and shifted to a point of equality, does it still continue to be a message that burns in the heart of people and provokes them to act like they have no home training and like they don't understand anything? Why?
Because it wins elections.
But why?
See, because people are tribal.
Now, we love to say that. That's the rhetoric. I'm going to tell you what the heart is. I'm going to tell you what the heart is. And I ask y'all to be gracious with me as I do so, okay? But you got to understand this. Anybody ever heard of something called the 1619 Project?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Let me think. I got a long dissertation. All right. CRT is nothing new. It's not. CRT is the new version of the 1619 Project. That's what it is. What is the biggest threat of CRT? Talk to me. What's the biggest threat to it?
Dividing people.
Yeah, what do they use to divide in CRT? Because see, a lot of people here is arguing race. That's not what the problem with CRT is.
Oppressor versus oppressor.
Yeah. So close. It's a psychological dysfunction there. What it does is it trains an individual to say, you're evil because you were born, and you're disabled because you're born. That's what the problem with CRT really boils down to. CRT is nothing more than you creating a psychologically dysfunctional human being. That's what you're doing. You are teaching them that behavior is a disability and pigment is a disability.
It wasn't enough to break down the family.
That was all part of the whole spread. It's a psychological game. And that is why it keeps coming up every election year. And it's how come they keep getting into office is because they play with our heads. They get us focused on a medial issue such as pigment and a histrionic issue that is long since dead to try and change what our problem is. America's issue is the educational system. That's the issue. The reason we find our foundation broken or becoming to a place of demise is because we have stopped teaching people what to think, academia, and have focused on teaching them how to think. Do you get what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
Got to reverse that. It's how to think versus what. Okay? We're educational. We're not academic. We're not. And that's why there's a generation of individuals that get these ideas that sound great, but makes absolutely no sense and it doesn't function at all. Because what education does versus academia is it keeps you focused only in what's in front of you, and it takes away critical thinking, deductive reasoning, and the ability to forecast and to project. You have a generation of people that are coming up, and we can talk about it all we want to, but they're the ones that's going to rule your Social Security. They're the ones that's going to determine your property taxes. They are the ones that are handling your health care. So we can sit back and say how dumb and bad this generation is, but understand that's the generation you're putting in power. So while you are in a position of influence and change, you might want to take a vested interest in the generation that you're rooted in. You might want to look at it, because that's the reason America's fabric is coming apart. Because they don't understand cause and effect and consequence. They can't see past their present and get to their future. That's how come two chromosomes can turn into 39 genders. That is how come you can preach out one side of your mouth, follow the science, but then you don't pay attention to what science is saying. And then you want to ridicule those of us who do. That is where we are in America. That's where the divide came. Because the forefathers who formed our country, they were academics. They were academic. They were forecasters and foreshadowers because they understood critical thinking and deductive reasoning, and they could think past the present into posterity. Amen. Amen. They knew when it was time to set aside personal beliefs and ideologies and take on the focal point of the whole. They were servants. They understood that what they were doing, while it would benefit them, because I am ambitious as all get out. I am not above anybody getting ahead. I wasn't born wanting to be broke, and I have no intention dying broke. So I am not offended by the wealthy. Let me hang out with you for a while and see what you do so I can do. I don't want to tax you out because I have never seen a broke person give a job. I have never seen a broke person pay somebody else's bills or supply anything to anybody. So I'm not offended by people who have money. I don't hate you at all. Can you tutor me? That's all I'm saying. But you've got individuals. Text the rich. I mean, tear up a really nice white dress to save. It was a pretty dress. And I'm sitting here thinking, wasn't you broke when you got into Congress? Now you're amongst the ones that you say tax, and you know you're not going to pay tax. People don't pay tax. Listen, corporations don't pay taxes. They get passed on. It's basic economics. And it's basic common sense. If they would think about it, because why would you wager all of the risk and then give it away? Because see, if that business collapses, they're going to go get another job. What are you going to do? You wager the risk, you get the reward. Yep. It's simple, simple common sense. But when you got 1619 project running through your head and critical race theory running through your head, you can't see that. Because all you can see is you're broke, busted, and disgusted. And it's got to be somebody else's fault. It's got to be. Because if they were thinking, they realize life is full of hardships. It's actually worse than it is. It's like I told somebody yesterday, did you listen to the Jay-Z song? He said he got 99 problems if you ain't one. That's what he said. He said to you, when he got wealthy, that's when his trouble started. So common sense will tell you your money ain't the answer to everything. It might be your brain. That might be your issue. Might be who you hang around with. You might want to take self-inventory. Because life is full of hardships and troubles. Jesus said it this way. Many are the afflictions. So my whole thing is, what do we do? How do we stop them from knocking it over? Because what's happening right now is that this is not a Democrat versus a Republican situation. I make no doubt about it. Pull my voting record, some of the people in the GOP have.
I got it.
Since 1997, I've never pulled a Democratic ticket. You won't find the time. I'd probably roll over and die first. Just being honest. Just saying. And I've had to hold my nose and pull the lever many a times. I've had to do it. I've had to do it. But the principle means more than the personality. So you just hold your nose and pull it. You know what I'm saying? That's what you do. Because the principle is the foundation. That's the foundation. So at this stage of the game, it can't be about Republican or Democrat. Because if you look at politics today, there is no way that the election fraud that took place in Georgia occurred by Stacey Abrams. Because it was us in office.
Yeah.
Now you can say it how you want to say it. You can think about it however you want to, but I'm an analytical girl. You can't fix the problem if you refuse to look at it. And the one still in power to rectify is us. Do you get what I'm saying? So, as America found out with the Civil War, our issues, sometimes we have to fight with ourselves. Sometimes we have to contend with ourselves, and that's what America is now. We have to fight with ourselves. Because we are being destroyed from within. Let me explain to you what I mean by that. When the Founding Fathers developed the Constitution, how many of you are aware that they were going to abolish slavery in it? And the way that the language was written, they just did it passive aggressively. We hold these truths to be self-evident what?
All
men are created equal and are endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights. It ain't up for debate, it ain't up for discussion. It's unalienable. You can't separate it from humanity. You can't isolate it from humanity. You can't deny it. These are the rights, among them being life, liberty, pursuit of happiness. Pursuit of happiness means economically stability. I know some people like to think that means being happy, though it doesn't. It meant economic stability. That's your unalienable rights endowed by God. One of the things that makes America superior to any other nation is that they acknowledge in the Constitution that we are custodials of life, we are not dictators of life. We are preservers and protectors of truth and justice. We are not the originators. We acknowledge divinity. We understand that we, independent of the Creator, cannot function and cannot operate to our maximum potential and capacity. We are by nature servants. This is why we contended with Great Britain. Because it was a God complex. Do as I say.
Yeah. Amen.
Don't care how you feel. Don't care what it costs you. Anybody look at the gas prices? Anybody been grocery shop? Did you like the $30 charge? How is this $23? But I'm just saying. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Never mind how it affects the people. Never mind how it feels. This is what I'm thinking at the moment. I'm in power, therefore you do what I say. That's why I said when I go to conference, there's some things you want to hear my opinion about because it ain't none of my business. That's a state right. If you want to be heard, go talk to your governor and go vote. But right here in conference, if it is not an enumerated right, there's no reason for us to discuss it. There's no reason. We can go have coffee and you can tell me how you feel, but on the halls of Congress, that's not our job. And our job is already backed up. We got plenty of things to focus on and other things that don't matter. It's not even going to be a debate. because there's way many things that we need to take care of that's not getting taken care of because you got your hands in everybody's business.
Lock it.
I was trying to be nice. You care what I'm saying? Like that it's just because something I don't like to waste my time. I don't waste my time. I was in a car accident real bad 12 years ago, almost cost me my life. I lost 6 organs. I had major issues. They said I never walk and talk again. I wish that was prayer. I saw my mom. I said they were praying I wouldn't talk. That's why they said that. Because they know I talk a lot. But the point of it is this. When you go through a struggle like that, when you're learning to walk and talk, when you're getting your body functions back, when you're 26 years old and your mom's changing your diapers, and you know, you're showering and you know, all of those things, there's a humbling that happens to you. And things that you thought matter, you realize doesn't. And you begin to get focused on what does matter. And one of the things that I learned from that experience, I think the best thing that ever happened to me, never want to go through it again, is it taught me what has worked and what has value. And life has value. Time on this earth is short. And we don't have the time, nor should we have the energy, to continue in this way. And what's for definitive and for sure is that if you mess with the foundation of something, the house will crumble. So we can negotiate infrastructure. We can talk about different menial things. But when you start coming for that constitution, that is where compromise cannot happen. That is where passivity cannot happen. It does not matter. I'm not the kind of person that's just going to bully bow up at you because I've grown up. I'm 41 now. Try me at 20, you might call another girl. But now, I'm a little more mature. And I've come to understand that when it's the truth, it stands on its own. It needs no defense or no lawyer. You understand what I'm saying?
Amen.
So I'm not going to sit here and negotiate with you what I know is the truth. That's what people say, what are you going to do, Saria? Because Pelosi and Ocasio, they like to come at people. It's like, I don't even give them credence now. What makes you think I'm going to give credence when I get there? I mean, serious. I don't value it now. So what's going to be the difference when I'm appearing in it? It's going to be even less significant to me. And give my grandma saying, Pope, baby, sweetheart. It's all right, sugar. You know, not going to faze me. Because, see, what you're doing now is not emotional. It's not emotional. You're messing with the fabric of America. You're shifting the identity of America. You're trying to recreate America. You're trying to formulate a country that does not exist out of one that has been perfect. And I know people say, not perfect, we made mistakes. How many of you guys made mistakes in your life you wish you could redo and rewrite? Now, how many of you will be honest? It made you.
Yes. Amen.
Romans 8:28, for he causes all things to work together for the good of those that love him and that are called according to his purpose. That means even your screw up. Because you're in the all. And my message to the American people, both Democrat and Republican, independent, agnostic, whatever, I don't care. You live on the sands of America. My message to you is this. For whatever blotches that are on the American history of the earth, it is the reason that we are in such high demand, while we're the most sought after and revered nation in the entire world. When you become president of the United States, it is not just the United States that you are having influence on. It is the entire globe. There is nothing internationally or domestically that doesn't have the hand of the United States in it. There is no economy across the globe that does not have its preference on America. They watch our elections more than we watch theirs, and they watch their own. Because their foreign aid's coming from us. Their international government structures of collaboration amongst nations, they're funded majority by us. So whether you want to acknowledge it or not, we are a call. This nation was called and assigned with a purpose. So how did we get here? We got here because we compromised in the beginning. We knew we didn't want certain things, so we wrote in things in the Constitution in such a way that it should be apparent.
Yep.
It should be apparent. If you got IQ above 10, you should be able to see all men are graded equal. It should be apparent. But we didn't put a stick to it. That's how come I'm arguing with people about the 1619 Project, because see, that's under Great Britain. America was born there. So America wasn't founded on slavery. And when America was founded, the very antithesis of what slavery meant was written in the fabric of our nation. Now, it takes a while for you to train a child out of bad behavior. But we compromised, and then that's why 70 years later, we had to confront the very thing we compromised on. Fast forward to today, we compromise on a whole lot of stuff. They come in with abortion. Now, I don't like it, but I ain't gonna say nothing. We're gonna form the Board of Education. We shouldn't have never happened because that's a state situation. Yeah, it's not right, but we're not going to touch it. I have a right to go to the grand jury. Yeah, but it's so complicated. I'm not going to get involved with it. I might get arrested or warrant sent down. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, they just do it. All kinds of stuff. They running through the streets, tearing up houses. I'm going to be quiet because it's being recorded. I was going to say something about Kyle or not, so I'm going to say it, but I'm going to say, way to go, Kyle. Yeah. All I'm going to say, I was going to say something different, but this is way before I'm going to say it properly. But here's my thing. Stop compromising. You've got to find a standard somewhere. And if ever you need to find one, today's it. Today's it. Because I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. Great Britain was one of the most powerful nations in the world. They had the greatest military there was. And a bunch of farmers and educators worked their blood. And now the master has become the servant. And if you think that history won't repeat itself on America, you're delusional. Because we used to run the economic structure of the world. And thanks to Donald Trump, we were headed back in that direction. But now, what the Bible says?
Nothing new under the sun.
The borrower is subject to the lender. Now you got China, Russia, North Korea. If you don't find your line of demarcation and stop voting for individuals just because you heard about them, I don't want my people, I tell them all the time, you know what my slogan is in my campaign? You deserve better. That's what it is. You deserve better. Why are you running against Hank? Because you deserve better. My child deserves better. I deserve better. My mama deserves better. How you gonna work 50, 60 years of your life for somebody to come around and take it right out from under you? Then they're gonna tell you the money they took from your checks is entitlement. Yes, I am entitled to. And like Hank said, what do you want us to do? I said, I don't care if you have to prostitute on Fulton Industrial. The fact of the matter is you took that money and gave them a promise. And just because your master Joe Biden don't know how to keep his word, you better find out how. Or figure it out before I get to Congress. Because you promised this. Should have talked to FDR before he did it if you didn't think he could. But guess what? It's here now, you owe him, get it done. And I don't care what you got to do to get it done. And if I hear one more word about you paying the hard-earned money of people who have worked 50 and 60 years in this country to individuals who only heard about it and jumped the border, I'm going to get real irate with you. Because it is not that I'm against immigration. It's not that the Republican Party are conservative or patriotic. We've been against immigration. We're all here. But come through the front door, please. Because if you come over the fence, it's an intruder, and I have rights to stand my ground.
Obligation.
I have an obligation.
Yeah.
I'm not going to feed the neighbor before I feed my child. I'm sorry. Not going to do that. Not going to do it. And I'm not going to let you come into the house I paid for and tell me how to run.
Yeah.
You know that's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. This is my point to you guys. The reason I brought this up is because we use a lot of guilt and shame of where we come from. I happen to think that being an American is a badge of honor. I happen to think being a descendant of a slave is a badge of honor. It's like I told one of my competitors, you know how to run from communism. I know how to fight it. I'm a military brat. Generations of military people. You're not going to run us up out of our house. I'm going to get you. And that's the mindset we need to get. Now, I'm not telling you go out and shoot people. We're not vigilantes. We do have IQs, okay? And moral fabric. But what I'm telling you is you need to take the power that you have and wield it right. First power that you have to wield it right is your voice. I know media and everybody is silencing, but did anybody pay attention to the last election cycle? You are still powerful. Your voice is still strong. And do you know how many kicks in the teeth Abraham Lincoln had to get before he took the Civil War? Do you know how many close calls of the personal kind that the North had before the Union came back together? And the several decades, almost to a century, it took for us to get whole after that event? Nobody said it was going to be easy, but you know what? You've got to fight. Use your voice. Speak the truth. But speak the truth from a place of knowledge, not emotion. Don't get caught up in the smokes and the mirrors. When the Board of Education asked me what was wrong with CRT, yes, I believe history is biased in America. We do not teach it clear and concise. We are ashamed of certain aspects, so we don't talk about them when you should put them on the table so history don't repeat itself. But if you think I'm going to have you teach my goddaughter, who is as peach as they come, that she's born evil and hates my daughter, and you think you're going to teach my daughter that black is a disability, it's not a disability. It's not an excuse. A concession doesn't have to be made. If you think you're going to continue to play on a dead situation in an attempt, because they didn't even race them, they don't even care about race. They don't care about it. It's just a good tool. The real deal is they're after that fabric. They're after that foundation. They try to knock the house over. On purpose, my woman did a lie. Just say, that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to rewrite history. I have a problem because you're corrupting the minds of individuals and you're creating psychologically dysfunctional people. Like I told them, when you used to beat your bully up, you didn't have a lot of suicide issues. You didn't. Tell the truth. Hit me and I'll hit you back.
Yeah.
You thought twice before you raised that hand. Because you knew there was some teacher that turned their back and let you do it. Didn't have so many suicides then, did you? Didn't have a huge bully issue. Because if I couldn't get you, I'd go get my big brother. That's what I'm saying. Come on, I'm just being honest. You didn't have some problems. All I'm saying to you guys is this. Get out of the whole conversation of them trying to divide us. We can see that. Take a look at what they're using to do it. What they're using to do it, I know people think this is, it's academic. They are using the educational system. Grooming you to be crazy, they're grooming you to be psychologically dysfunctional, they're grooming your kids to be targeted by pedophiles.
In our largest cities, particularly.
It is. That's what they're doing. You need to make sure that you are looking at your candidates, and just because they say what you like, listen, I'm going to root for you because I'm from a conservative patriot movement. The question is, can I get the job done? Because I can talk all I want to talk. And I can sound how I want to say. But when the rubber meets the road, are you going to do the job? I can do the job. I can do it. I've done it. Thanks to Gregory, we teamed up together. We attacked BLM. They didn't go to that council.
They didn't show up.
They didn't. Couldn't handle it.
They were 2 hours before the event, they canceled.
2 hours before the event, they canceled. Because they didn't expect Uncle Tom to sit across the table from them. They didn't want to talk to the black, white supremacists. Or the full-on white supremacists. See, people get upset with me when their names are, I don't care, it's not what you call me, it's what I answer to. It doesn't matter what you say to me. That's how you're going to have to be. Nobody in this room agrees with slavery. Can everybody agree with that? Anybody got a problem that you talk to listen to a black girl talking? Got a problem that there's a black kid, black man, black mom?
No.
I didn't think so, but they're both so nice when we came in. And like I told them, are you upset with the Republican Party because they put you in? I said, you know what? If they hate black people, that standing ovation was a poor indication of it. You know, and
amen.
When I lost my daughter, you know, family members and Democratic friends didn't say nothing rallying around. Boy, did that GOP do it. Boy, did they rally around and support my family, which thank you to those of you who did. I don't know everybody, I know you did. But those who did, thank you. It was a very dark moment for our family, and I appreciate that. For those of you who don't know, we lost our daughter about 3.5 weeks ago. So, thank you guys for the love and the support. But the fact of the matter is, the reason I lost my daughter is because I refused to get vaccinated. And I was denied care. And when my daughter died, and I went to the ER, I was denied an epidural, and a doctor went and delivered my deceased daughter, my husband, and a nurse had to. Because they didn't want to put the suit on. I'm going to vaccinate. Don't worry, the lawsuit is already been filed. Because, see, my thing is this, I'm going to probably cry about that for the foreseeable future. My heart has a hole in it that only God can fill. And it's like I told them in my deposition, I'm not after you for wrongful death. Because you couldn't guarantee the life of my child at all. Even if you did everything right. I'm coming after you because you didn't try. You didn't give her a shot. You didn't exercise what you were supposed to do. Now the issue of her death is between me and God. And he's a big man. He can't handle it. But my issue with you, the only way you're going to make this go away is if you give my daughter back. You can't, so I'm hitting that wall. And I'm coming for your license. And I'm going to send a clear message through the state of Georgia.
Amen.
That this is still America, the land of the free and the home of the brave. And I'm a full-blown American. I don't mind fighting for what I believe in. And that don't mean I got to go blow your business or your house up. Because see, the law works.
It does.
It's just the people handling the law don't. The fabric of America is still strong and great. The people custodians of it or not. So when you're picking your candidates, listen to what they say, but watch more closely what they do. And if they can tell you what the problem is, they better be able to tell you the solution. Regardless of they getting rid of Dominion or not, you need to go vote. Overwhelm the system. Because there's a short window of time for them to do corruption. And they may get some, but they won't get us all. Think about, anybody who's seen Saving Private Ryan?
Yeah.
Y'all remember at the very end when that tank is coming at Hank, he was dead. You knew he was going to die, but what did he do? You better keep shooting. Because cavalry is coming. Isabella had a speaking role. Cavalry is coming. When those guys got off the boards at Normandy, did you not think that they knew how impossible that moment was? But what would have happened if they allowed the impossibility of what was going on to curtail the mission they were assigned? We would be all hell and Hitler. You cannot give up your voice. It doesn't matter who comes for it. It doesn't matter what systems and structures. Take it from a civil rights ancestor. It doesn't matter. Take it from a Revolutionary War ancestor. It doesn't matter what opposition they throw. You have to fight. Go vote. Don't be afraid to ask the right question. That's the problem. What you gonna do about it? Okay, that's a nice song and dance. That's not really reality. Give me the facts because you want my vote. What are you gonna do? Go to your school board meetings. Some of you guys who know what's going on, run for office. You think I want to run for Congress? No. I don't. But that little girl right there demands that I do. Your kids demand that I do. I'm still young. I demand that I do. You understand what I'm saying?
Amen.
Put your hand to the plow. Stop looking for another Malcolm X, or stop looking for another JFK, or stop looking for a Ronald Reagan. Stop looking for another Trump. Don't get me wrong. Trump did an awesome job. I'd vote for him again. Voted for him last time, the time before that. But Trump was a beacon to illuminate and to activate the American spirit again, and to divide the non-Americans from the Americans. Now do your job. He was not the great white hope. We are the great hope. We are. So take the encouragement and the power that that man gave. Rely on the strength, courage, and fortitude of our ancestors and save our country. Any questions? Yeah.
Earlier I said, we're looking for more Marjorie Taylor Greene. We have found someone who Marjorie Taylor Greene will not. She's going to do it her way, but we're getting people up there who are going to do it the right way. And we're happy about that. What can we do? We all have things that we must do. We all have... We all know what needs to be done. I don't need to tell you that. But we don't need a judge to tell us that it's raining outside when we know it's raining. We don't need a judge to tell us that our elections have been corrupted and have to prove it in court. We're smart enough to understand that. After all, our forefathers created the Constitution and the law. So we don't need to blindly follow. Now think about this. There's always been slavery. I'm reading Aristotle, Plato. Slavery in the Greeks. Slavery with Rome. The Russians had serfs. Okay? And today, and prior to World War I, all the leaders of Europe were grandchildren of Queen Victoria. It was a family feud, World War I. Nobody can tell me what it was really about. It wasn't about anything that we cared about. So we've given up critical thinking, and we must start thinking about that and applying critical thinking again. We're not going, today, the globalists are the royal elite of yesteryear. They still have their money, they just gave up their power, and they're trying to return us to serfdom.
Yes.
That's the other term, not slavery, that's too polarized, but it's serfdom. That's the way that it worked in Russia, serfdom. And I, my kids, and my grandkids, yours, nobody wants to be a damn serf. We're not going to be compliant, and we're not going to willingly go to the gas chambers as the Jews did in World War II. We have our history lesson, and we know what's coming. When William Ayers said, when I was in college, at least 20, remember, the Weather Underground, he and his wife, Bernadine Doran, they bombed New York police stations, killed people, and he said, at least 20, 30, 40 million people are going to have to be taken to re-education camps, and most will not return. I heard him say it. It wasn't hearsay. It wasn't something I read in the newspaper. Barack Obama's author for Dreams of My Father. Okay? So we know what their plan is. In my master's level program in psychology and organization development, the thing that was emphasized is that the data is all around us. Most countries fail, companies collapse, the data is all around, everybody knows what's going on. But no one will do anything about it. They said somebody else will take care of this. We can't possibly fail. And then collapse is upon us. We know the facts, we know the data that's around us, but we ignore it thinking it's going to turn out all right. It's not going to turn out all right by itself. It's going to take us standing for our principles and electing the right people who will fight for us, and we will support them. So I wish we had more time for questions, but we don't. But maybe Saria will stay a little longer. We have to end this at 12 o'clock. I made a commitment to the owner of this place that we could have it until 1 o'clock. And then the meeting has to end. So maybe we have time for one quick question. Or is there such a thing as one quick question?
Michael.
Yes, yes.
The challenge. It's a great speech, but how do you educate?
Stand up.
How do you educate closed minds?
For real.
You know what works best? When you got somebody who's closed minded, you don't argue the fact. You have to attack the emotion first. Because what rules. If you argue the fact with an ignorant person, they cannot understand the concept. So you have to target the emotion that drives what they believe. The scripture is very clear when it says, agree with your adversary quickly, lest he throw you into prison. A lot of us get arrested in our arguments because we don't know how to agree on the things that we do agree, and then hit them in the jugular with the things that are more detrimental. Was America the way that it was? Yes, but the operative word is was. It's not who it is today. You have got to target the emotion. That's how the Democrats beat us. It's because they do emotional IQ, we do cognitive.
Great answer. Paul?
Mike, I'd like to point out for everybody's benefit that in December of last year, 44 United States citizens submitted a petition to the federal grand jury in Atlanta to investigate the allegations of malfeasance in the last election. Today, two of those signers are here with us running for public office, an office that can make changes in what happened to that petition. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you, Paul. Thank you for all that you do. One more. Yes, sir.
Kind of a strange question, but I'm going to ask. He teaches some folks how to be poll watchers, poll workers. We won some victory in Virginia. They say it's going to take people.
Yes.
We need to have wise eyes, and I don't like the new machines. And I want to know if anyone can help me understand how we teach people to be wise observers so we can protect this next election.
I even have coursework done.
Stand up, would you?
Yay!
I didn't hear you. I can help you teach people how to be poll watchers, but I want to encourage you to do something else. I want to encourage you to be poll workers.
Yes.
I want to encourage you to do that. Poll watchers are great. Poll workers are watching every little thing. I mean, poll workers are doing everything. But I have the training material. I developed it for that wonderful county, Fulton County.
They fired you.
Yeah, they fired me.
We normally have a Madison Forum open forum meeting. That's where we don't have a speaker. We all participate in our comments between December the 25th and New Year's. and we've always done that, with the exception of this coming Christmas. I discovered that Christmas is on the last Saturday of the month. So we can't have a Madison Forum meeting then. So considering moving it up a week, I don't know if it fits with their schedule, or we may just not have it. It'll be the first time in 18 years that we've not had this. So just stay tuned. I'm going to see what we can work out and what can be done. Is there anything else anyone wants to say before we close today?
Let's go, Brendan.
I want to thank you all for coming today. We have an outstanding speaker. We've got three Madison Forum members running for Congress. I'm running the path, okay? So we try wherever we can, but we applaud our candidates. Glad they're running. They're running on the right issues. Madison Forum does not endorse, but we're very proud of our members, and we're very proud of our membership. Thank you all very much, and I hope you all have a nice Thanksgiving. I wish you more.